Welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Des. So I just wanted to start this episode off by saying, I feel like you can be raised in the same household, by the same parents, by the same person, everything like that, and have a completely different experience than your siblings had. And the reason I say that is just, some things were said this week that I experience that my siblings haven't experienced, and I'll get into that, you know, later. But I just feel like each sibling is going to experience different with their parent. They may get along with their mom better than they get along with their dad, and then their sibling may be opposite. So I'm just saying, you can't judge your sibling off of your experience with your family, your parents. And I'm just starting that off because this episode might get emotional. It's gonna get, I would say, on a touchy subject that not everybody has ever experienced. And then kids experience it to the point that they have to be removed from the home. So I just this week have had a very heavy heart, just some comments that were made. So I just wanted to get it off my chest, because what am I doing this podcast for? To get it off my chest, out there, and healing from it. So I just want to start off with that not everybody's experiences are going to be the same, even with grandparents. I feel like every grandchild has a different experience, and it's just, I feel like it's who you are. Your personality may just not click with another person's personality, and that's the experience you're gonna get. Just like your friends, like, you probably get along better with one friend than you do the other. I mean, that can happen in families. Not everybody's gonna get along, not everybody's gonna want to be in each other's life, and that is okay. You do not have to be in your family's life, to be honest with you. I don't feel like just because blood is blood means it's always your family, because family can still stab you in the back, right? But enough said. So, with this, like I said, it's going to get emotional, it's going to get touchy, backlash might come from this, but that's fine. This is my healing process, and this is what I've started to do. So, as a young child, I experience things in my life that not a lot of people honestly know of. Talking to my dad this week, I really never expressed a lot of it to him when I was a kid, because I was afraid. I was afraid to show my emotions. I got told and taught that, you know, if you cry, it's just going to make it worse. So I, as a young kid, shut off my emotions. I told myself, you can't cry in front of people. You can't show emotion. You're just going to get in trouble if you show any emotion or cry, or, you know, it's just, it's going to get worse for you. So at a young age, I learned to shut that off, and I learned that that wasn't a good thing to shut off coming into adulthood, because now that I shut my brain off in that area, trying to turn it back on has been the hardest experience I've ever had. But also, shutting that off has made it hard for me to communicate to my friends, my family, my spouse, and even my daughter sometimes. So I feel that's why I need to come out and talk about it and express it and talk about things that a lot of people don't know about me, so they can understand more of where I'm coming from and why I feel so shut off. Like, you know, when there's a negative situation going on, or, you know, you're having that serious conversation, I just shut down. This is why I've taught myself to do that, and I'm working to undo all that. It's going to be a process, it's going to be a struggle, but we are going to do it, right? So, I really can't remember when the first experience was, but I'm just gonna share some stories that's been heavy on my heart this week. So I have a younger sister. She's about 6 years younger than me. When she was born is pretty much where I remember things starting and not going the best way. And to me, being that age and not knowing any difference, I just thought it was how it went. But I would remember getting in trouble. And, you know, back then, when I was growing up, you could spank your kid without actually getting in trouble. Nowadays, they tell you not to do that because it's physical, right? But I'm just going to say some parents take it too far. Some parents have anger that ends up being taken out on their kids, right? It's not right, but that's what some parents do. Instead of taking the anger out the right way, they take it out on their kids when they finally explode. So, it may sound like I'm struggling for words or what I'm trying to say. I am trying my hardest to make this not come off rude, not come off as a bashing session, not come off as I had the worst mom in the world, because I mean, we did have our good times, but I feel like our good times were lesser than the bad times. So I'm really trying my hardest to make this, you know, not sound like a bashing session, but it may come off that way, or it may come off as I'm sounding like I had the worst childhood, which I can't say I did, but I also can't say I had the best either. So if it sounds like I'm struggling for words, it's because I'm in my head trying to think of a proper and nice way to put some things that I just want to blurt out rudely, but I really want to be nice about this. So the first experience that has been really heavy on my heart that I guess my dad didn't know, maybe I never told him or talked about it, but we lived in Ogden with my mom and her, I want to say at this point it was kind of a long time boyfriend. They had gotten in a fight, she had assumed that he was cheating, and he had left. So she looked at me, told me to watch my sister, and as she was shutting the door, she says, "If I don't return soon, it's because I wrapped my car around a tree." Now, being 8 years old, having a younger sister, you kind of freak out, right? Maybe not, I don't know, maybe I just overreacted to it. But as soon as her car left the driveway, we had the sweetest old lady as a neighbor. Like, this lady looked out for us girls. I wish I could remember her name, but I'm just seeing where she's living and where just the sweetest lady she was. Anyways, I grab my sister and I go running over there just crying. She answers her door like she always did when we would go over to see her, and I could not get the words out. She finally got me calmed down. I finally told her what was going on. She said, "You know, you can stay here. We'll wait a while for your mom to get home. If she doesn't, you know, we'll call the cops." Now, the rest, I don't remember. I've honestly blocked out a lot of that type of stuff. But just talking through things this week, it's brought up some memories. I don't remember if she ended up calling the cops or what happened at that point. I just remember when my mom got home, I was in so much trouble, to the point that you could say her anger had come out onto me and went way too far, that you could call it abuse. And I feel like I was always the one to take her anger. I was the oldest, I was the one who pretty much sat back, and she could just scream and yell at me without me fighting back, and then it would turn physical. That's the way it went, and I let it go that far. There was times that my dad, you know, I would go and talk to him, and he sat me down, and he says, "Des, I want you to come live here," and I remember, and I've been told this by a couple of different family members that I've sat down and talked to this week. They all said, "You would not leave your sister behind. You did not want to leave her behind because you knew what would happen. You knew the physical pain that would happen to her, and you were protecting her. Which I was. And I don't regret protecting her. I don't regret staying back. Because she was one that would fight back as she got older. And I could only imagine of where it would have gone. But I felt it was my duty as the oldest sister. It was my duty to protect her. And I would not get myself out of a shitty situation and have better because I knew she would still be there. You can call me a shitty sister, but I stayed to make sure what was happening to me was only happening to me. There was plenty of times. We were living at my grandparents' house, and I remember my mom was doing, I think I was in first or second grade, my mom was doing my hair for school pictures. And you know, school pictures comes around, everybody wants that perfect hair, right? I either backtalked, I can't remember what I did. I will just go with backtalks, I'm pretty sure. She was blow drying my hair, and she was facing me in the front, and I backtalked her, and I just remember the blow dryer just smacking me straight in the forehead. Well, it had left a mark. You go to school, teachers see marks, it's their job to turn it in, right? Well, you're dumb. You don't know that you're not supposed to say, you know, oh, this happened. Like, you don't know that that can get your parent in trouble, right? Because this was my first time that, at this point, the state had ever gotten involved in our lives. And I just remember my teacher taking me down to the counselor's office. The counselor had another woman in there. They said they wanted to sit down and talk to me. They asked all these questions. I answered them honestly because what first and second grader truly knows how to lie? I mean, some probably do, but I was dumb and I was like, oh yeah, you know, this stuff happens. And I told them all sorts of things. Well, I remember getting home and getting off the bus, and the state was sitting in our house. And I remember my mom sitting there flat out lying to this lady, and all I could do was stare at her because I didn't know what to say or do. And the lady said, okay, and left. And at that point, I didn't know that this lady was from the state. I didn't know that this type of stuff wasn't supposed to be happening because I thought it was normal. It's been happening since I could remember it. But it's not. You do not physically abuse your children. So that was time one that the state just pretty much walked out and said, okay, like, you know, there's no more here. And this is gonna sound so bad, but my mom has gotten away with so much and has gotten herself out of situations that she seriously could have been in serious trouble for, but she either knew the right people, knew the right thing to say, or they just didn't care like they should have. I don't know, but there was so many instances. And I don't want to sit here and just go on to everything. There was another time that it's really been heavy on my heart. And this one, I had step siblings at the time that were also involved in this. Not only did I call the cops, but they called their mom, who also called the cops. At this point, because there was two calls coming from the same place, or the same, called to the same household, I guess. The state got back involved. I told my story. My siblings told theirs. My step siblings told theirs. But again, state came around. Mom knew how to put on a show. Which I feel like, I honestly feel like once you start, like the state starts getting involved, you know what they're looking for. You know what they're here to question. And you either start prepping your kids when you know the state's going to come and question them, and you start putting on your show, but as soon as they walk out the door, it goes right back. Like, you know what's going to happen, so you know what you need to change, you know what you need to show off, you know what you need to say to get them out of your house, to get them out of your life, and then you just go right back to doing it. I mean, there was so many times that us kids could have been removed from that household, but we were never removed. I'm just going to go out and say it because it's my story, it's my life. I was talking to my dad this week, who's kind of been struggling with some things that was said, and he goes, "That's why your grandparents called us, called me and the other dad involved at the time, and had us come down to their house late at night and sit down and have a conversation and say, we need to get those girls out of the house. Our grandparents even knew what was going on and that it was time to get us out. But then when it came down to face it straight on, the grandparents did not want to face the music anymore, we'll say. Like I said, I'm trying to not sound bashing and say the wrong thing. But pretty much, my mom can manipulate anybody she wants. She can pretty much get anything she wants out of you because she knows the right thing to say. She knows the wrong buttons to push. Well, we're going to put it that way because I've been manipulated by her plenty of times. For example, I find out I was pregnant with Peyton. I hadn't talked to her in probably over a year. I didn't even tell her I was pregnant. Somebody else did. And she's calling me asking if she could be back in my life, blah, 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 blah. Here I am, giving her a second chance, saying, yep, you can be in your granddaughter's life. Here we are 10 years later, but that's not the point. When it came down to my grandparents and the other dad pretty much facing it, they did not want to push for it. So again, my dad sets me down. Des, I think you should really come live with me. And all I can do is, I know, Dad, but I can't leave my sisters. I can't do that to them. You know, it was my job to protect them. And I can only protect them so much. And they're adults now, they can make their decisions. We've had obviously different experiences growing up, different childhoods, different relationships with our mom. But what I want to say is their relationships may have gone differently if I did leave. If I would have left them behind and not been there to protect them, they may have a different relationship to this day. You know, you never know. I don't know if, you know, what if I had left when I was asked to, would we have that different, like, would we be in each other's lives right now? Like, would we have that different relationship? I honestly don't know. Or would it have opened my eyes a longer time ago and I would have walked away way before I did? Like, there was times, you know, that I wouldn't talk to her, that I would walk away. But then I always felt that guilt of, that is your blood. That is your biological mom. You can't just walk away. Well, you also can't have someone toxic in your life if you want to have a bright future, not have toxic, not always be brought down, not always be told what you're doing wrong. So I finally had to make that decision that it was time to have my life the way I wanted my life, to raise my daughter the way I chose to raise my daughter, not the way I was raised. I mean, I was 17 years old, and this is a story I don't really feel like I've shared with a lot. My family members know it. I believe I've told Braxton, but I don't really go out and just share this. But at 17, What is a lot of 17-year-olds doing with their freaking boyfriends, right? So, me and my boyfriend that weekend, we were supposed to be going up to Wyoming to the horse races for that weekend with my family. I was waiting for him to get off of work on that Friday, and we were gonna drive up in his mom's car because neither one of our vehicles would make it because, 16, 17 years old, you don't have the greatest car. My first car was a Dodge Neon that I could not drive from Brigham to Ogden without it dying on the side of the road. So, I had told my mom that we were going to be coming up that Friday night once he got off work. And that Thursday, I told her I was really staying somewhere else. Well, my grandma happened to drive by and see us coming from the dirt bike track out by Smith and Edwards, right? And so she calls my mom, and my mom calls me, and I don't even know what she said, but at some point she found out we were doing adult things, we'll say, and she lost it on me. She told me that my boyfriend wasn't allowed to come up there, that I needed to go home, pack my stuff, get in my car, and start driving up there. And I just kept telling her, well, my car's not gonna make it. It's gonna die on the side of the road. And she goes, I don't care how long it takes you to get here, you get up here. So I did what I was told, went home, got my car, got my stuff, started driving up there. Driving from Perry to Evanston, Wyoming should only take about 1 hour to 1.5 hours, right? Oh no. With my car, and as many times as I sat on the side of the road waiting for it to cool down, to restart, it took me 3 hours to get there. The longest 3 hours of my life. Well, I get there. Everybody at our barn knew that Des was doing adult things. Which I don't feel like that's something you need to flat out go and tell everybody. That's personal. I don't think everybody and their dog needed to know. Not the point of story. So she goes, we're going for a drive. We're calling your dad. Well, I think she was expecting a bigger reaction out of my dad than what we had gotten. The sad part of it was, is my dad and them were driving to Disneyland. And my dad answers, and I just tell him I have something to tell him. She has her phone sitting on speakerphone because she needed to hear what was going on. I start crying. My dad is like, what is going on? I'm like, well, again, I don't want my younger siblings to hear this. And he goes, well, my phone's on Bluetooth. We're driving. I can't really take it off right now. And he goes, can I call you back when we stop? And my mom was like, no, you will tell them so your siblings can hear what you did. And I just start crying and I said, I'm doing adult things. And my dad just honestly was speechless. He goes, okay, why are you calling to tell me this? Well, because I didn't get this yelling, screaming, you're in the wrong type of lecture out of him. Again, my mom picks up the phone, starts yelling, why aren't you mad at her? Blah, 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 blah. And he just says, what were you doing at her age? You can't be a hypocrite about it, right? You can't punish somebody for something you were also doing. Yes, you can sit here and drill in your children's head, that's wrong, that's wrong, you're not supposed to do that. Some may listen, some may not. It's what us teenagers do back then, right? It's probably what teenagers are still doing. Honestly, I'm scared to death to have a teenage daughter of my own, but we're gonna get through it. So then we get back. She takes the keys to my car away. She takes my cell phone away. And tells me I will be spending the weekend up there. Once we get home, my car will be taken. I won't have a phone. At that time, it was summertime. I'm going to cosmetology. She told me she will be taking me and picking me up from cosmetology. I'm like, okay, whatever. This is gonna be my punishment. Fine. Oh no. She makes me drive home alone that Sunday. My siblings couldn't even ride with me. I had to drive completely alone with no cell phone. Car kept breaking down. They're ahead of me. I eventually make it freaking home. Give her the keys to my car. She already had my cell phone. Couldn't have that the whole weekend anyways. And she tells me to go sit in my room. I was pretty much on house arrest at this point. Well, my dad and them, I think they were gone about a week, maybe a week and a half. And I finally found out that he was home. I packed up all my stuff. My grandparents lived next door. I went and used their phone. I said, "Dad, my stuff is on the porch. Come and pick me up." My dad came and picked me up, and I moved in with him. I did not tell her I was moving out. I was done being treated like the worst person on earth because I was doing adult things. She had her cop friends driving through the parking lot of my cosmetology school to make sure my boyfriend wasn't there to see me on my lunches or breaks. I mean, you can put me on house arrest, you can make us not talk, but you can't do that my whole life. I mean, I did not go out and do anything with friends hardly ever because I was not allowed to. She was so scared of me making the mistakes she did as a teenager that I was not allowed to go out to even experience those mistakes. And I can tell you now, I wish I would have went and learned stuff in high school and went and made mistakes and started the partying process way earlier than I did, because then I graduated high school, started my partying, got pregnant with Peyton, stopped, and probably mid-20s, I would say, had a little moment there that I didn't give a care. I took care of my daughter, but when she was either with her dad or she was staying the night at my parents', I was in party mode. And I feel like I should have gotten that most of the way out in high school, but because I was not allowed out to do things and experience those teenage things, I was doing it in my 20s. And I probably looked like a bad mom, but guess what? I got out of that stage. I stepped up. I've raised my daughter. I've done a damn good job, I feel like, doing it. She has what she needs. She's, a pretty happy child, if you ask me. But I will never live in fear that my child cannot go and do things or experience things because I'm afraid of her making my mistake. I mean, for the longest time, I was told that my mom didn't graduate because she got pregnant with me. Well, kind of found out that there's more to that story, and she had chosen way before I was even a thought process that she wasn't going to go to school. So, she tried to go back to school, and then she used the excuse that I started calling my grandma mom, so she didn't want that, so she quit going back to get her GED. There's another instance. She went back to school, and I mean, from what I can remember, again, I've blocked a lot of childhood things out. A lot of it's coming back in this week just really quickly, that she was going to night school. And between my stepdad and I, we were getting the girls' homework done. The girls were taken care of. The girls were fed. But she used us as the excuse of why she didn't want to go is because we were not being taken care of, which I can tell you right now, my grandparents live next door. My stepdad was there, and I was in my teens. I was taking care of my siblings. They were being fed. It was just she could never take the blame for herself. Again, this is going to come off so bad, but it's coming out, so it's fine. She could never take the blame for stuff or be honest and say, "I don't want to have my GED. I don't care about it." It had to be an excuse to why. And I'm going to tell you right now, I will not be the excuse to why you chose not to. You can blame whoever you want, but I will not take the blame anymore because I found out it was way before I even came along. So just felt like I needed to say that, needed that off my chest. There's a lot of things that I had taken on in my life that I was always like, you know, that was my fault. But again, it was just the way that my thought process went and the things that was said to me and, you know, the physical and mental abuse that I went through, that I put myself down so bad. Like, to the point in my relationship, something will be said and I take it the wrong way and I get so defensive. I get really defensive back and I truly want it to stop. I don't want to always be in defense mode. I don't always want to be like, everything's my fault or I'm this bad person or, you know, I can't do right, because I feel like I've come a long way. I give my heart to everybody pretty much. Like, I have friends that have kids. I think of all of them as my nieces. I will go out of my way for them. I will go out of my way for my friends. I mean, this past, I think it was 2 weeks ago or a week ago, I can't even remember now. Honestly, my ex's other baby mama, will say, messaged me out of the blue. Now, mind you, me and her hated each other. We went the rounds, but because of the situation she was in and where I was in, you know, we were in two different places. But now that she's experienced the things that I had to go through, I truly think, you know, now she knew where I was coming from. But she has been messaging me, and I had just told her, you ever need anything, you need someone to talk to, you need help, I am here for you. I will be here for anybody, day or night. If you need me, just call, text, email, whatever. But I am the type of person that I give so much of myself to everybody that I finally sometimes break. Because I give so much, so much, and not getting returns in some relationships that I break. And I get to the point that I have nothing else to give because I give too much. And I want to say it's because as a kid, I was expected to always do what I was asked. I mean, honestly, my spouse will tell you, if you ask me to do something, I look at you and say, how high do you want me to jump? And I even try to jump even higher than you told me to. That's who I am. Because as a kid, that's what it was expected of me. Is you tell me to do something, I snap into attention and I do it right now. And truthfully, I still want to be a giver. I still want to care about people. But I can't do it to the point anymore that I don't have anything else to give myself. I mean, I honestly, I don't know how to word this correctly. I truthfully feel like I want to go back in my childhood and take back things. Take back, you know, being the person who always said yes and never stood up for myself. I wish I stood up for myself more. I wish I would have gotten out of this situation. But again, it's not who I am. I needed to be there and take care of my siblings. It's fine. We're past it. We're healing from it. I feel like this is going to be an ending point. I feel, truthfully, some anger coming up, and I don't want this to turn into a toxic and bashing episode. So I think at this point I'm gonna go ahead and just end it here. The next week, I don't know how many episodes I'm gonna be able to get out, just with it being coming up on Peyton's birthday. We do have some things planned. It's gonna be a busy week for us, so I will try to get at least two episodes recorded. If not, I'll at least try to get one out before we start our little journey. As always, you can always email me, text me, call me. If you follow us on any of my social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, message me there. If you're not already, you can follow our podcast Instagram at real_talkdes. Also, if you want to and want to email me, my email is reallifetalk30@gmail. Thank you all for listening to this episode. I do appreciate your love and support, and I'll truly, truly appreciate the comments that I've been getting, the people coming and saying that they can't wait to hear my story. You guys are the reason that I'm even pushing forward and continuing to do this, because honestly, last week I was ready to throw in the towel, but I got a very nice message actually from someone that I would have never thought it coming from, telling me that they want to hear my story and that they were also in a situation and it could help them. So, I mean, I'm gonna continue. As hard as it may become for me, or the backlash that I might get, I'm gonna push through. It's gonna be fine. That is my life logo, is it's gonna be fine. We will get through this together, and I do appreciate each and every one of you for listening to this, truthfully. So you guys have a great day. We will come back soon.